The Medrash, at the start of the Parsha, mysteriously invokes the struggle between Mordechai and Haman. Beginning of Parsha Truma, what does Parsha Truma have to do with Mordechai and Haman? And the Medrash celebrates the name of Mordechai defeating the wealth, the osher of Haman. What does the name of Mordechai have to do with the wealth of Haman? Kadosh Baruch Hu chastises Haman for attempting to buy Bnei Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu explains that he himself owns Klal Yisrael. Ki li Bnei Yisrael avadim. They're my servants. What are you trying to buy them for? That's what it means. Vayikchu li truma. I bought them for myself. They're my servants. You can't buy them. So there are many peculiar things about this Medrash. I will attempt to address some of them. But let's begin with Haman's complaints about Am Yisrael. Haman thought that Klal Yisrael was up for sale. He thought he could buy them. And he pleads to Achashverosh that they're a Yeshna Am Echad. That's what the Pasuk says in Megillah. And in the Gemara Megillah, Daf Yud Gimel Mabez, explains that Yeshna Mina Mitzvot, Mina Yeshna Am Echad rather, means Yeshna Mina Mitzvot. What does it mean, Yeshno Min HaMitzvah? Says the Marsha. The word Yeshno is a lashon of Shena, sleep. The Yidden were sleeping. They were not performing mitzvahs. They were in a deep slumber. And for this reason, Haman felt that they were dispensable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could get rid of them and wipe them out. Strangely, just a few lines later in that very Gemara, Haman explains further to Achashverosh that the Yidden were always taking off from work because of Shabbos, or Pesach, or Yom Tov. Always had a different excuse. But isn't that itself a Kima Mitzvahs? Resting on Shabbos, resting on Yom Tov, not going to work? So how could Haman first say that they weren't doing mitzvahs? They were Yeshino Min HaMitzvahs. But then he says they were always performing Shabbos, and Pesach, and Yom Tov. So the idea, I believe, is based on something I saw in a sefer called Sefer Sif Sechein, written by Rav Krauss, explains that the moments before Geula, the moments before redemption, Klal Yisrael experiences the darkest of times. There's a period where Kadosh Baruch Hu Kivyachol is sleeping. There's a deep slumber by the Ribono Shel Olam. His presence is not felt. The time of terrible Hester Panim. Am Yisrael is Yeshem and Mitzvahs. The Klal Yisrael is also sleeping. They're not performing mitzvahs. But that deep slumber, that sleep, foreshadows that there's going to be an incredible awakening. A Ketz Mashiach. And it says when Yaakov fell asleep, Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnaso. He fell asleep on Har Bayis, running away from Esav. It was dark, it was nighttime, he fell asleep in a deep slumber. But Yikatz Yaakov Mishnaso, Yaakov woke up from that deep slumber, the reference to an awakening from the gullus, awakening from the sleep. We saw in today's daf, those during daf Yomi and daf Peiches and Psachim, that refer to Beis Elokei Yaakov. It's a reference not to Elokei Avram, not to Elokei Yitzchak, but Elokei Yaakov, because it's Bai Shlishi is connected Yaakov Avinu. That Bai Shlishi, the Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnaso, refers to the awakening from a deep slumber. And this awakening takes place in Megillah as well. It says in Megillah, Nodida Shnas HaMelech. The king was beginning to rise up from his sleep. And the Gemara says every time it says the word HaMelech, in the Megillah it's a reference to HaMelech Malachei HaMelechim, the King of Kings. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shnodida Shnas HaMelech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beginning to awake from his slumber. He was rising up. It was the end of the gullus. In truth, even when we're sleeping, we perform mitzvahs. We may not realize this, and certainly Haman didn't realize this, but when we sleep, Chazal teaches us that the neshama travels up to the base Medrash Shel Mala. It learns up in Shemayim. There's somehow fulfillment of mitzvahs even in the deepest of slumbers. Klal Yisrael is very careful to perform the mitzvahs of Shabbos and Yom Tov. These are days of menucha, days of rest, days of sleeping. Haman didn't see that as a mitzvah. He saw it as laziness, a reflection of their unwillingness to work and their avoidance of mitzvahs. But in reality, they were preparing through this menucha for an unbelievable Yeshua, for an unbelievable geula, a sleep, a rest, waking up to awaken the giant, to awaken the geula, to awaken their bona shalom kiviyachal. So he didn't see that as a performance of mitzvahs. But in reality, it was. When Haman is ordered to wear the royal clothing on Mordechai and parade through the streets of Shushan, he finds Mordechai in the midst of teaching the halachas of kmitza. Kmitza is when the Kohen scoops up a handful of flour with the three middle fingers and the thumb and the pinky are sticking outside. At this very moment, why of all mitzvahs was Mordechai learning the halachas of kmitza? So I believe the answer is because the kmitza is a performance of a karbon mincha, lashon menucha, resting. The menucha, the mincha is not a very chashiva karbon. It's not like an animal, like a cow, like a sheep, like a goat. It's some flower, it's a menucha, it's resting, it's almost nothingness. But the kmitza represents an awakening, a lifting up of the flower, putting it on the mizbeach. Sometimes a person feels like he's in a slumber. He's in a deep sleep, a deep rest. But there's a kmitza. There's a lifting up. There's an awakening. And the word kmitza itself, the shorish is kamatz. So what's a kamatz? There's a kamatz and a pasach. A pasach is a line. A kamatz is shaped like a plus sign with the top without the top of it. Kamatz means to close. Well, pasach means to open. The Sefer Pardes Rimonim explains that even though kamatz means closed, kmitza means to close the hand and to scoop up the mincha, the thumb and the pinky of the kmitza are sticking out. They're not closed, they're open. The kmitza is the beginning of the geula, where the fingers are beginning to rise, and beginning to awaken. Even when a person's in a state of kmitza and close, a person's in a state of menucha and rest and sleep and shena and yeshem and mitzvahs, there's an awakening that's about to happen. The kmitza is the beginning, the fingers opening up to finally they open up all fingers and sprinkle it on the mizbeach. The very word kamatz itself has the letters kates in it, to awaken. And maybe the letter mem represents Mordechai. Mordechai who brought about the awakening. We have by each geula, there's a mem, there's a Moshe, there's a Mordechai, there's going to be a Mashiach. The mem brings about the kates Mashiach, the kamatz. And maybe that's what it means that the name of Mordechai, the name of the Mordechai is going to overpower and defeat the wealth, the money that Haman paid for Klal Yisrael. So the Gematria of Shena is 365, connected to the days of the year. Sometimes we feel like we're sleeping every single day of the year. But if you remove the Elokim, they remove the din, the 86, the din of Shena. Shena looks like it's sleeping, it's death, it's a little bit of death. Elokim represents din. If you remove the Elokim from Shena, you get the Gematria of Mordechai plus his five letters, 297. Removing the Elokim from Shena brought about Mordechai and the redemption. Perhaps that's what the Medrash meant, that the name of Mordechai defeats Haman. Extracting the Elokim from Shena, we're left with the great tzaddik's name Mordechai. That awakening, that Kates Mashiach, that Kamat, that Kmitza from the Menucha, is what defeats Haman. There's an obligation to get drunk on Purim, Chayv Inish Lebesumei Adil Yada. And the different interpretations what that means, how drunk a person should get, but the Rambam famously writes, the Rambam quotes him, that one should drink and then fall asleep. Perhaps this is another reference to a slumber that leads to Yeshua. The entire day of story of Purim, rather, is about awakening up from deep sleep, about revealing Hashem's face from the Hester Panim of Megillas Esther from Galus. Hashem's Panim is hidden. But that's the exact reason why we build the Mishkan. To emphasize in Parshas Chuma, we're introducing the Pnei Kruvim, the face of the Kruvim, the Lechem Panim, the face of the Lechem, the Heir Al Eber Paneh, says the Pasuk in this week's Parsha, Mul Pnei Ha'Oel. Mul Pnei Ha'Oel, Rashi writes, that the covering of the Mishkan was like the covering of a face of a Kala Tznua, modest maiden. The Lechem upon him, all the Panim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hester upon him, but the Mishkan is there to reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu's face. To wake him up from the slumber. To wake us up from the slumber, the deep sleep of Gullus. And when we find ourselves in Gullus, when we find ourselves in personal struggles, nationally, individually, we must remind ourselves that the Hester Panim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is simply a cover, a Kalat Tzenua. But underneath that cover, behind the darkness, is a beautiful face with a beautiful Yeshua. Every deep sleep is a sign for an even deeper awakening. We should all be zocha to see the full moon in its grandeur, in the midst of the night and darkness, with the Ketz Mashiach, b'mheirah v'yameinu, amen v'amen.